Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. We gather together in a collective worship like this, and we think about the God that we're here to worship. And there's something that has always thrilled me and has always been a joy for me to talk about and to preach about, and that is the love of that God. And as we sit here this morning, I wonder if you're a little bit like me, that yes, you understand that God loved us, and you understand that because of that love, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and that love was exemplified on that cross. But when you go throughout the day, day by day, week after week, how is that love exemplified in your own life? How do you put that love to practice? How do you comprehend and how do you think about that love? Turn in your hymns of the church to 153. This song talks about the love of God and the inexhaustible and inexplainable love of God. And I think we're going to stand together, and I'll have the song leader lead this hymn for us, please. We sang that song. We think about the love of God. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Then verse 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I came this morning with full intentions of speaking about the love of God. But the one point in this message, in my notes, is the aspect of understanding God's love through the forgiveness that God has for us, and the forgiveness that was exemplified on the cross of Calvary. And this song talks about that in the first verse. It talks about the guilty pair, Adam and Eve in the garden. They were bowed down with care. And God gave his son to win, his erring child to reconcile and pardon from his sin. As I thought about that, I was thinking about that on the way down here this morning, that forgiveness kept coming back to me. This morning as I sat here, I listened to Brother Shannon talking in the devotional. What did the last verse in Ephesians 4 say? Does anybody have that? Forgiveness. The call there is to forgive as we have been forgiven. If we have experienced the love of God in our hearts, brothers and sisters, I don't see any other way but that forgiveness goes hand in hand with that. First of all, in our lives, as we experience God's love and we accept the love that God portrays to us, and we accept that forgiveness, they go hand in hand. And then John commands us to love one another as God has loved us. I don't see any other way but that forgiveness goes hand in hand with that love relationship as well. If you and I here this morning profess to have experienced the love and forgiveness of God, and we're ready to hand that out to other people because of the joy that we have in our lives for having received it, then we need to hand out, along with the love, the forgiveness that we have received. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. For the first 12 years or so of my life, my parents were members of an Old Order Mennonite church. And Matthew chapter 18 was one of the chapters that they pointed to, and I think they referred to it almost every time at a council service. They referred to Matthew chapter 18 as being the guideline whereby men relate to each other. And it brings in the verse, they used to bring in the verses there that when you have a fault, when you have a problem with somebody, you go to them. But I'd like to look at the last part of this chapter just briefly before we go into more thoughts on forgiveness. I think I'm going to take the time to read from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And we often look at that and we say, well, you know, there is a limit. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. You're going to have to keep a scorecard if you're going to keep track of who you've forgiven 70 times 7. Because you're not going to remember that unless you're a whole lot better in memory than what I am. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Brothers and sisters, We know this account. We know this story that Jesus told. We know the question that Peter had. How often do I need to forgive? I ask myself and I ask you the question, why is it so hard to forgive? Why is forgiveness such a battle? Why is forgiveness such a chore for me to do? If we want to truthfully and honestly answer that question, we're going to have to say that it's because of self. It's because of pride. It's because I want what I am owed. There's a debt here that is owed to me, and I want it because I have the right to it. In order to forgive, it is necessary that we lay down ourselves. And that's what makes it so hard, because it goes against self. But Jesus brings the example here of a king that had a servant that owed him his life. He basically owed him everything and more than he could ever hope to accomplish in a lifetime. And I'd like to remind you, brothers and sisters, that that was us. There was no way possible for any of us to individually or even collectively pay the debt that we owed to God. Don't you ever get the feeling that you were born and raised in a Christian home and therefore God kind of, you know, you just kind of walked into this relationship with God, because that's not true. I don't care how good you were or how good you think you were or thought you were. You owed a debt to God that you could never pay, because the only way for us to be redeemed before God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. This servant, when he was brought before the king, and the king pronounced upon him his condemnation, he fell down on his knees before the king and he pled for mercy. He said, "King, have mercy on me. And the king," he says, "was moved with compassion." Brothers and sisters, we've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ because of the love and compassion of God. That is the only way that we stand where we stand today in forgiveness and in right relationship, in father-son relationship with the God of heaven. It is because of his love and his compassion. Yes, we've confessed Jesus Christ. We've been baptized in the church. But do we really understand what forgiveness, what our forgiveness by the God of heaven requires of us? This story has a wonderful feel to it as we see that the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Oh, we rejoice. That's so marvelous. That's so wonderful. That's so compassionate of that Lord. He forgave him that debt, those millions of dollars. He was willing to just say, I forgive you. We love to think about the forgiveness that God has for us, right? We're just so thankful. We didn't lose everything. We're free. But the story doesn't end there, sadly. Verse 28 says, but the same servant, not somebody that observed this, not somebody that saw this happen, not somebody that there was an example put forth to them, but this same individual, this same servant that was forgiven and was freed and was rejoicing in the fact that he's been forgiven this debt. There's a weight lifted off of his shoulders. He's not condemned to servanthood for life. He's not losing his family. He's not losing all his possessions. He's been forgiven. That same servant. That same individual. Went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Just a little thing. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. Now we say, how foolish, how stupid. You've just been forgiven. You've just experienced a forgiveness. You should be ready to go out and you should be ready to say, not even wait till somebody says something to you. You should go meet that person and say, You can't believe what happened to me. I've just been forgiven. I've just been forgiven. And I want to pass that on to you. You're forgiven. I forgive you. But no. He went out and he found that fellow servant. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, it says. And demanded that he be paid. Brothers and sisters, we have been forgiven. And we've been given so much. Not only have we been forgiven the debt that we owed, but we have been given peace. We have been given a clear conscience. I want to go on and just name the many things that God has given us, not only just forgiven the debt, but he's showered us with blessings. And then we go to our fellow servant, our fellow brother or sister, and we take them by the throat. And we demand that they pay the debt. I ask you this morning. You sit here this morning. I don't want you to think of the individual beside you. I don't want to think of a family member. I don't want you to think of a neighbor. I want you to think of yourself. Is there anyone that you have a chokehold on and you're holding them at arm's length and you're saying, pay the debt. Pay the debt. That servant was called before his Lord again. No longer was he a forgiven servant, he was now a wicked servant. Lord says he no longer was moved with compassion. He says, oh, thou wicked servant. And later on, he says, and his Lord was wroth. Are we sitting here this morning thinking so greatly about the love of God and how we experience the love of God and we're basking in the glow, and yet within our hearts, we're unwilling to forgive our fellow servant? Brothers and sisters, it's something that cannot exist together. God says, I forgave you, you should forgive as well. And Jesus reminds the people, maybe more directly to Peter, but he reminds the people, he says, so likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you. And he says this phrase in here that strikes very deeply. He says, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Yes, brothers and sisters, you can be sitting beside somebody in the pew this morning that you have not forgiven from your heart, that you have not been willing to forgive to the extent that you have been forgiven. You can be sitting beside somebody this morning that you would like to get a hold of by the throat and say, pay me that debt. But you're sitting there all pious and acting like everything's okay. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't talking about being nice to each other. Jesus says, I want forgiveness from the heart. I want you to totally release that person. And in order for you to be able to do that, you need to be totally released to me. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this, and I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but it is impossible for you to forgive somebody from your heart if you don't have the Lord Jesus in your heart. The world will be nice to each other, but they're not forgiving from the heart. They still might hold that grudge. They still might hold that thought. They still might remember what happened way back. Yeah, but you know what? He's not all he professes to be, because way back then, so and so and so. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that even if you have forgiven from your heart, the devil's going to come back to you sometimes and say, but you remember way back then. Yes, I remember, but I've forgiven. If you can say that from your heart, then you have forgiven. But if you can't say that from your heart, if you say, yeah, I remember, then you're living in the danger of the wrath of the king. Matthew chapter 6, another interesting passage on forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talking about almsgiving, and then he moves on to praying. And he says we're not supposed to be hypocritical in our prayers. We're not supposed to pray to draw attention to ourselves. But he says after this manner, you shall pray in verse 9, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beautiful prayer. We pray it many times. We use it in closing services sometimes. I know some people pray it at mealtimes. How often do you think about what Jesus says right after that prayer? How often do you give any thought about the comment that Jesus made after he taught his disciples to pray after this manner? All the great phrases that are in that prayer, Our Father, we have the right and the privilege and the blessing to be able to call God our Father and pray to him as our Father in heaven. We recognize the holiness of God. The hallowed be thy name. Holy. He's a holy God. A righteous God, a just God, a loving God. Thy kingdom come. And that can have so many different meanings. Thy kingdom come. We're looking forward to the return of Christ and the ushering in of the new kingdom. Maybe we're talking about the kingdom, his kingdom come and fill us. His kingdom come in its fullness into me and make me what I ought to be. Or maybe thy kingdom come on this earth as we continue to spread the gospel and new individuals are brought into the kingdom of God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's a surrender and a commitment. We're looking for God's will to be done in earth. That can mean in this earth as we think about the earth, or it can mean within our earthen bodies. However you want to look at it, but we're praying that God would have his will done here. And in order for that, we need to be surrendered to the will of God. Give us this day our daily bread. We recognize our complete dependence on God. Our daily bread. You know, we have our freezers and pantries and everything full. When things start getting a little bit lean, then, oh yeah, freezer's getting about half empty. God, you know, we need you now. No, we needed him before. And we recognize that, our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We say that, we go across that. But you know, brothers and sisters, that is the only part of this prayer that Jesus made any comment on that we have record anyway. It is the only part, that is the only phrase of this prayer that Jesus made a comment on. And he says in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." We like that, don't we? Sad to say, sometimes we use it to our advantage. And we say, well, now you're supposed to forgive, you know, because God says, if you, you know, you've been forgiven, you need to forgive me. But Jesus reminds us, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Brothers and sisters, if we are unwilling to forgive those who we feel have wronged us, those who we feel, and maybe not just feel, maybe they did wrong us, maybe they did do something to us that was terrible. Maybe they did do something to us that really hurt us. Maybe they did do something to us that took away our muddied our character and our reputation. But Jesus says, you need to forgive because you've been forgiven. Are you willing to forgive? If you're not willing to forgive, then I really can't forgive you because you're not living the life that I've called you to. I ask the question again. Are we willing to put the love and forgiveness hand in hand in our personal relationships the way God put it hand in hand in our relationship with Him? How deep is your love relationship with God? Have you experienced His forgiveness? Are you truly thankful and appreciative of that love and forgiveness in your life from God? Are you filled with that? If you're filled with that, then you're going to mind the Spirit in your life. And you're going to be willing to give love and forgiveness to your fellow man. Because just as the forgiveness, the love and forgiveness of God frees you and gives you a life of peace and joy, so the forgiveness and love that you give to other people can do the same thing to you. Or you say, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. Doesn't matter. If you've forgiven them, then you can have peace. If you hold a grudge, you won't have peace. I'd like to close with two illustrations. The one happened a long time ago. And I don't know if you probably heard this illustration. Maybe you heard me give this illustration. But this was back in the days when people drove horse and buggies. Back in the late 1800s, if I'm not mistaken. There was a couple of young men snuck into a farm one night where there was another young man dating a girl from that family on the farm. And in those days, many farmers had stone piles. They hauled stones out of their field and they piled them up on a pile. But anyway, these boys got a fairly big rock. And they put it in this young man's buggy. This was funny. Many years later, One of these young men, which was now an older man, could not live with his conscience anymore, and he went to this individual and he said, "You know, that night when you were on a date and you came out and there was a big rock in your buggy." Yeah, he said, "I remember that." Well, he said, "I was one of the ones responsible for that rock." And he says, "I ask your forgiveness." The man, with tears in his eyes, put his arm around that man and he cried and he said, "You've been carrying that rock all these years." He said, "I unloaded it the next morning." Have you unloaded the rock? Another story that I heard just recently, and this is a secular story, has nothing to do with Christian life or anything, and yet it brings home a point. There was an individual that was working for another individual in a company, and he was disgruntled about things that were happening. He didn't think he was being treated fairly. He didn't think things were being run right, and he left his differences be known with the boss. And finally, the contention got that great that I'm not sure if he was fired or if he just left and started his own company in direct competition. And they were bitter enemies. And they tried to outbid each other on contracts. They tried to make it as miserable as they could. That went on for a few years. Until a large, very lucrative project came up that they both would have liked to have. They both would have liked to take on that project, but neither one of them was able to do it because it was a bigger project than they would be able to handle. And finally, the original boss called his former employee, which was now his competitor, and he said, "Come over to my office, I want to talk to you." He called that man in and he said, "This project's out there," and he said, "Neither one of us can handle it alone." He said, "It's time to bury the hatchet. It's time to lay our differences aside." He said, "We can work together on this." He said, "We can both make a lot of money." But he said, "We got to be able to work together. We got to bury our differences." They were able to do that. They ran the project, everything went well. They made a lot of money. Short time later, the man who was originally the employee was killed in an airplane wreck. Brothers and sisters, this morning, how would you feel? How would you feel if somebody that you had a conflict with, somebody that you were not willing to forgive, you would get word that they're gone? You can no longer go to that individual and express your forgiveness. Don't wait. If there's somebody that you know you need to forgive, do it now. Unload that rock. Go on with life. free. Let's kneel for prayer.